All righty. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm Sam Shansky here on the Shansky Shuffle, and tonight I've got special guest Jack Barksdale in the house with me. Jack, how you feeling, man? It's good to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm feeling pretty good. This is I always love getting to come to Memphis, so
yeah,
it's good to be here.
All the way from Fort Worth, Texas, is that right?
Indeed.
And you're here recording with none other than Mark Edgar Stewart, is what I've been told.
Yeah, Mark's amazing, and I've recorded several different projects with him and here in Memphis.
Yeah.
At a couple different studios with some cool musicians, so I'm glad I'm getting to do it again. It's always a pleasure and a lot of fun.
And how did you first get connected with Mark?
That was at a festival in New Mexico, Red River, New Mexico. And it was one of the first festivals I ever played when I was like 10 years old.
Right, because you're what, 17, 18 now?
Mm-hmm. I'm 18 now. And
so this was about a decade ago almost that you guys got connected.
Yeah.
Sound, you know,
that's funny.
It's substantial. It's a lot of time.
Yeah, but Mark's amazing. And I just love his songwriting, and he's just such a great guy and a very musical person, so I always love getting to work with him, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he's one step closer, you know, his roots to Texas, where you're from, being from Arkansas, so he, you know, kind of bridges the gap there between over here to Memphis. But
yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, we were just talking about how once he gets something that he likes, he's obsessed with it a little bit, and he'll preach about it a lot to folks. And I think you're in that mix of names that he likes to talk about. So it's a
well,
good thing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's good than to be the other way around, be talked about in a bad way.
No, not when, you know, that can happen too, but no, none of that. Well, it's very cool to have you here at WYXR. Are you a fan of community radio in general?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's, always, I usually go to sleep with either a CD playing or like my phone playing music, or I used to have this CD player that had a radio player in it, and so I'd listen to the public radio station, community radio station from our local college.
What is that down there? Which one is it?
Tarleton. And I'm not sure exactly what the radio station is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
because I know there's, what is it, KUTX out of Austin?
That one. That's a great station, though.
For sure.
Anyway, I always love to listen to, like, the classical music and whatever programs were on at the community radio station. But I need to get a new CD player that's got another one of those radios in it.
Man, good luck finding a CD player radio combo in these times.
Who knows? You can get anything on Amazon.
I was going through a box in the garage yesterday and found a boom box that had, you know, the CD player, the full package with the cassette and everything. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? And so I plugged it in and turned it on. And next thing I know, my kids are dancing in the garage, and it was a good time. And I was like, I'm going to keep this little boom box.
Oh, that's cool.
You know? They didn't know what it was.
Some magical music box.
So what kind of, you know, what's the vibe of your upcoming record? I know the you're here working with Mark and with Kevin Houston, you said, and some other friendly folks, Danny Banks, Bailey Bigger involved, really solid crew. You know, there's drums on it with Danny Banks, so it must be, you know, a pretty full sound. How's that turning out for you so far?
Really good. I always love whenever I come and record here with Mark. This will be like the third or fourth time now. It always ends up being where I'm never quite sure what it's going to sound like before we get in the studio, but I'm always really happy when I'm done with it. And so it always is a little bit different than what I'm used to or than what I usually do. And so got some kind of soulful sounding stuff this time, some folk Americana with a little bit of Memphis mixed in, and just some interesting musicians that really added a lot of cool stuff to it. I've got a lot of weird songs, but I think we're gonna do an EP, and I've got some songs that I've got a whole bunch of songs that I'm hoping to turn into an album. But I think I'm just gonna really kind of pre-release them as a few of them as an EP, and you know, just get some of these songs out into the open, and I'm really happy with what we recorded today, and hopefully we can I think most of it's already done, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty productive day in the studio. So I'm not even really sure how to describe because all the songs were a little bit different, and nothing really that fits tightly into a genre.
That's fine.
But I really enjoyed what we came up with.
Let's hear a little bit of a sample of what we might get if we were to check out this EP down the road.
Yeah, sure.
So you have your guitar here with us. What kind of guitar is this?
This is an Epiphone Frontier guitar. It's basically Epiphone's version of the Gibson Hummingbird.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they used to make this style of guitar back in the day. And then as Epiphone sort of became more just Gibson's, you know, cheaper model, I think they started making them in out of the country, but recently this guitar is a 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So after/during the pandemic, they started making some of the high-end Epiphones again and in the Gibson Bozeman factories, and they just sound really cool. And so I really love this guitar. It's got a really cool, got a cool low end and a lot of cool sound.
Yeah, what do you like about it? A low end?
Yeah, it's got this, you can't see it on the radio, but a really beautiful pick guard with these cactus and a lasso on it. And
yeah, I love that.
But it's, yeah, got a lot of low end. I tune it a whole step down, so you really get a lot of bass from it.
And why do you do that?
Well, I started doing that because for a long time I didn't really believe in capos.
Mm-hmm.
And then my voice started changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized I'd written all my songs in a standard tuning without a capo, and so I either had to relearn it or tune my guitar down to play these songs. And so I started tuning my guitar down a half step and then a whole step down. And a lot of songs I relearned, some mm-hmm. of them I just capo them in random places. Mostly I just started writing all my songs with a capo like halfway up the neck so I could just move my capo down. But yeah, that's why I started. But I just ended up liking this lower sound to my guitar, so
very cool.
I kept it around. Let me see, I might move this microphone down a bit.
Yeah, get cozy. Do what you gotta do.
And see how this sounds.
Everyone, you're listening to Jack Barksdale here on the Shansky Shuffle on WYXR 91.7 FM out of Memphis, Tennessee, WYXR.org. Take it away, Jack.
Okay, is that sound good to you? Awesome. Well, this is one of the songs we recorded today that I really like. It's called Battleground, Song of Class Warfare. She was born in a small town in a time of war. A war between the rich and poor. She grew up on the front lines, defenseless, relentless. There ain't no light on the battleground. On the battleground. She stole from the rich, and they tracked her down, but they stole from her without a sound. Cause they bought the state, and they bought the laws, and nobody's safe as the dominoes fall on the battleground. On the battleground. As the walls closed in and darkness fell, her legion were forced to betray themselves. But she stayed alive, fought foe and friend. The warlords laughed and the world caved in on the battleground. On the battleground. Survival sure seems a worthy cause, but the state always loves a broken law. It's three strikes and you're out of the game. One knows justice only by name on the battleground. On the battleground. On the battleground. On the battleground. She was born in a small town, in a time of war, a war between the rich and there it is.
Outstanding. I love that. Do you have it in you to do another one? Just keep it rolling for now? And
yeah, of course.
I think while the momentum's there, let's do it.
I'd love to. Let's do it. Well, I'll do another one that we recorded today.
Perfect.
This is... Oh, I got to turn my notifications off.
Oh, yeah.
My phone's making noises. Yeah, this is one we recorded today. It's this is definitely one of the weirder songs.
Perfect.
I decided to. This is what happens when I write the lyrics first to a song. Usually, that's a question that people ask a lot. It's like, do you write the lyrics or the music first? And I kind of do them at the same time, and it just kind of helps keep it structured a little bit better. Makes it a little easier on me, because when you write the music first, and you gotta kind of squeeze the lyrics into that space that you've written the music to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same kind of thing when you write the lyrics first, and that's like what kind of music goes with this? And it's really hard to write to have music to already written lyrics and not have it super simplistic. And so I wanted to try this. I wrote the lyrics first to this one, and I wanted to try and make it not super simplistic. And I ended up making a song that doesn't repeat. None of the music repeats itself. And I don't think any of the lyrics repeat itself either, so it's kind of a weird one. And it's got kind of a strange title to it. This one's called Don't Have Children, Adopt. Your life begins. The struggle never ends. Another heart bends. Your will to give in. So a new life emerges from instinctual urges, and all it receives is blood to bleed and means to an end. When will it end? Each generation insists on genes that persist, and those that resist will not be missed. Cyclical suffering, muddying the facts, convincing us survivors that suffering really ain't such a useless act. Well, to hell with terminology, just fight your biology. Your children can't thank you for never being born, but they just might curse the day of their birth, the day they gain view of such a terrible storm. Reluctantly adorned with this sorrow and scorn, the moral hot potato should be left in the ground. Don't let the mind tell you your meaning is found in the strings that you've wound on the harp of the damned. Every new beginning is just another lonely death. Every birth a sad ending, every breach a shallow breath. So let the child be.
unknown and unseen. There's really no need for these lives that we lead. Well, you don't have to listen to the things that I say. Your mind, it'll take you its own way. But if you care to know, my message is don't have children, adopt.
So that's one of the ones we recorded today.
Jack, you got skills, man. That's good stuff. How long have you been playing guitar? Since, like, you know, birth, basically.
Yeah, I got my first guitar lesson when I was about 7, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's, wow, it's like 11 years now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, keep going. Keep it up. Good work. A song like that, I mean, you said you wrote the lyrics first. What was going through your mind? Do you remember? Well, do you write songs from a happy or a sad? Like, what motivates you feeling-wise when you're bummed or when you're, like, feeling really good?
I guess, like, I forget. I heard someone say this one time. Like, when you're happy, you don't want to write a song about it.
There you go.
You kind of just want to feel it. Feel the happiness or whatever good feeling it is. You know, when you're feeling a little, you know, sad or depressed or whatever it is, or frustrated, that's generally when the songs, kind of, or at least when you think to write a song about it, because, you know, it's better than just wallowing in it. But
so with this one, do you want to, you know, do you even want to explain about it, or is it better left just, like, you know,
well,
in the lyrics?
I guess the lyrics are pretty direct about, you know, what it's about and all that, but which is part of the reason for it, is it's, I kind of have decided that for songs that have, like, a message to them, you know,
right,
it's kind of on the part of the songwriter to not be vague about it, and or really just to effectively get that message across, you know. Not saying that, you know, that's going to be perfect and everyone's going to take it the same way. That's not really, possible, but just, you know, kind of get what you're meaning to say across the best that you can, in a way that's meaningful and makes sense, and somebody else can absorb and do what they will with it, you know? And so on that song, I used, sort of repetition, not in so much the lyrics themselves, because they don't repeat, but in themes, or what I'm talking about. I basically say the same thing, you know, 3 or 4 ways in the song. I say it, you know, kind of poetically. I say it more like scientifically, you know, with, you know, every... with each generation insists on genes that persist, and those that resist will not be missed. You know, it's really kind of terminology heavy. And then I say it real directly, and so that's kind of the idea with that song. I've been kind of inspired by this old German playwright named Bertolt Brecht, who was known for his really inventive and creative ways of thinking about theater and really just art in general, but how to get a point across effectively and how to get through to an audience and get the audience in a headspace to be receptive to what you're telling them, or to at least absorb it. And
it's not easy.
And it's not. And so I've been thinking about that a lot, because, you know, songwriting on its own is a lot different than theater, even though theater incorporates songs. It's very different, because you perceive a songwriter much a lot different than you perceive a stage actor. A lot of people perceive a songwriter as, you know, saying things from their own perspective. You know, that's why, you know, Randy Newman has had such a tough time over the years, because he almost never writes songs from the first person. He's almost always writing songs from another person's perspective. although he does write songs in the first person, he doesn't write songs from his own perspective.
Now I'm thinking with that Toy Story song perspective. You got a friend in me.
You know.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, you know, with songs like Short People and
The actual Randy Newman songs.
Where he's, you know, writing songs about, you know, maybe not the greatest people, but they're songs in the first person.
Did I mention I have a 6- and a 4-year-old, so my mind on Randy Newman is at a different place at this
for
point
sure.
in my life. But, you know.
But yeah, so that's kind of my thought process, that theater is very different than songwriting. And I think, honestly, Bertolt Brecht would have really liked to have been a Bob Dylan figure, you mm-hmm. know, or, you know, a singer-songwriter. Because a lot of what he was doing was basically trying to let people see through the facade of theater and, like, let people know that these are actors, that this story is not just a story, it's being told because the playwright is trying to say this, or it's trying to promote this thing or this idea. And that's the reason for this whole thing. And he did a lot with, you know, breaking the fourth wall and all sorts of interesting stuff to try and make that point clear. And I think songwriting is interesting in that you don't really have to the fourth wall doesn't really exist.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And so there's still a lot of stuff that... maybe isn't normally done that you could do with songwriting, you know, some off-the-wall stuff that could probably help, you know, get a point across or something like that. Like, I've been trying to do that with song titles,
mm-hmm.
like that one, Don't Have Children to Adopt. That's basically, I've been trying to say, like, what the song's about or the point of the song in the title,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, when you're playing a show live, you can kind of explain the story behind the song or what the song's about. But, you know, on a record or on the radio, you can't really do that. And so if you sort of express that through the title, it can add a bit of clarity to mm-hmm. the song and really just kind of help get your point across and kind of help the audience through it a bit. And so I've been thinking about different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So on that song, I tried doing that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in the Americana space or the folk space or whichever, you know, mm-hmm. space you're choosing here, you know, it can be sort of restrictive or judgmental, and there can be, you know, it's like we're how far away from Dylan goes electric, but it's still that mentality still exists of like, When fans find a sound they like and then you mm-hmm. stray from the sound or the sentiment that was once at, you know, the root of it all. And mm-hmm. then you grow and change. And I've seen that a lot. And,
yeah,
you know, Aaron Lee Tashjian or someone like that, that was mm-hmm. like seen as a roots rocker. And next thing they're using a lot of synthesizers and mm-hmm. putting out computer love rock, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself doing anything like that someday? I mean, I feel like I hear a little bit of that from you of like, make it weirder, go out there a little bit. Is it something that you see, or is it just, you know, hang with the acoustic, or what do you see for yourself?
Well, I've never really stuck to one genre mm-hmm. Very much, you know, every song is kind of, can be wildly different. And so I've never really, stuck to one genre necessarily, but you know, it's always something that you know, you can get stuck in one place, or it can be expected to stay in one place. And some of my favorite artists, like, you know, Tom Waits, even though you know, he never was probably the most commercial person in any part of his career,
mm-hmm.
The way that he kind of reinvented himself with really every new album has always been really inspiring to me. And so I always I think that's honestly why he's had such a long career and such a substantial mm-hmm. career musically, is just that he really always was pushing himself and going into new territory and you know, not staying where he was. And you see that with, you know, tons of artists. And so I always just try and go wherever inspiration leads me or wherever the idea goes. I never really think about what the song, like how I'm going to perform the song or how I'm going to record this song or anything like that until after I write it. Mm-hmm. And so it ends up being that I have a lot of really strange variety of songs because I just want to make the song the best that it can be. And then afterwards, I'm like, dang it, I got to play this now. Mm-hmm. How am I going to do this? Like, I wrote this song on the piano one time, and eventually I did learn the chords on guitar, but it was a bunch of weird chords and weird stuff. And that's the same with subject matter, too. Mm-hmm. Going into different areas and areas that might not be the most, might be a little more vulnerable than you'd normally want to be, or a little less, I don't know, I just I feel like I put myself in really uncomfortable positions just trying to make the song the best that it can be.
Yeah, I think the greats have been willing to do that, call it vulnerability or authenticity or whatever it might be. they get up there and expose themselves in that way, and you're like, that takes, you know, a certain kind of energy to even want to do that in the first place. Mm-hmm. Think that you have something to say that is worth listening to. Mm-hmm. And then to do it all, the full package of, like, you know, it sounds good, it's different, and also it resonates because you are being vulnerable and all that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to achieve, and most of us that would try to pursue something like that would encounter something called anxiety and shut down and be like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So props to you for being able to do it. Excited to see where time takes you. I know on my journey, I would have never predicted where I currently am music taste wise, you know. Mm-hmm. You just keep growing and being shown new stuff by peers, and music is so fun in that way. It just continues to reveal itself. And mm-hmm. being from Memphis is really cool in that way, because there's so many different diverse sounds happening all at once around here, from, you know, underground hip hop to bluegrass music. So mm-hmm. very deep and wide grooves all taking place. Anyhow, Jack, it's really cool to have you here tonight. I know it's getting late. You've been recording all day, and you have another session tomorrow, and you're trying to fit in a lot of magic in a short amount of time. So I just want to say thanks for being here tonight. And
thanks so much for having me. This was great.
Yeah, sharing a little bit about yourself. There's always more to learn, I know, but time is time. So, yeah, man. What's something we can promote? You know, I know you're saying you're working on an album. Are you, you have a run of shows coming up or anything that we can tell the good listeners about?
Yeah, if you go to my website, jackbarstow.com, it'll have all my show dates there, mm-hmm. as well as links to all the social media and you know, Spotify and all the streaming services. So my website is best place to go, because I never have any of that memorized.
But what are you excited about that's coming up, like, personally?
Man, there's a lot of shows that I'm not sure if they're announced yet, mm-hmm. But that I'm excited about.
You can tell me. I won't tell anybody. I'm just kidding.
Trying to think. I am legitimately horrible. As soon as I look away from the calendar, I go blank.
I'm so like that too, that I can relate so well to that. People are like, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, you're gonna ask me that right now?
Yeah,
this weekend? I have no idea.
So I
well, that's okay.
I'm drawing a blank, but
well, I'm sure it's something cool. Something's coming up for you.
If you go to the website, it's all there.
Yeah. You're in recording mode right now. I like it.
I am.
Yeah, that's good. Don't let me distract you. Focus on the now, Jack. All right. Well, listeners, you're on WYXR, 91.7 FM on your dial, WYXR.org. We're going to pick back up here with some of the Shansky Shuffle sounds. And, yeah, follow Jack Barksdale Music on Instagram, and you will not regret it. All right? All right. Talk to you later, everybody. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you.
Show not too much.